what bird it is, and I want to find that bird so that I can see it and confirm what I think it is and everything like that. And when I'm out on the trail, I love finding bird feathers. So I have a little collection of bird feathers here. I'm wondering if there's anyone who thinks they could identify some of my bird feathers for me. It's been actually quite a long time since I've gathered any of these ones, and I could sure use some assistance in recalling to myself which birds these are from. So anyone of any age, if you would like to come and help me identify some of my bird feathers, I would sure appreciate it. Genius! Okay, who? Well, come here, Missy. You can't do it from there. Anybody else going to help? Come on, kids, anybody. No one's going to be humiliated. If you can help me, you can help me. If you can't, that's fine. But you got to see these feathers. They're awesome. Come on, anybody? Okay. Ladies, you are my team. Thank you. So, okay. No. Oh! Help has arrived. Mr. Dan Wyrick. He has, how many of you has he taught a thing or two about birds? I want to see the hands right here, right now. How many of you have been in his classes? All right. Thank you, Dan. You have made a difference. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think that's from? You don't know? Have you ever seen these colors before? I've seen them before. Okay. Is it a baby turkey? Oh, man, I should have brought some of our turkey feathers from the neighborhood. That would have been awesome. Okay, so you have any idea, Allie? Anything just come off the top of your head?
Is it a quail?
No, that's a nice try. What would you say, Professor? I'll tell you, I'm not 100% sure. It's been a long time since I collected this.
Good, this thing is off. That's good.
Oh,
no.
Check. I don't have any free hands, so we have to do it this way.
Possibly a magpie.
That's a good guess, because why? What colors do you see? Black and white. When you see a magpie, you see black and white. And around here, what other color?
Around here on the magpie? Yellow-billed, the only place
yellow,
in the world.
Yes. If you're in Colorado, you'll probably see?
Black-billed.
Yep, black-billed. Thank you very much. See? See what I tell you? Of course, I subtly let you know that I know, too. but I was not being prideful. Trust me. I don't think. I don't even trust myself. I believe this is from a gull. I couldn't tell you which kind of gull, but let me tell you what I think about when I look at my feathers, and I look at this feather in particular. I think, oh, the places you have been. You think about that? When you find a feather, think about all the places this has been. This is, I don't know, how many miles out to sea do gulls go?
Depending on species, but, you know...
Didn't mean to put
20 miles?
16,
in some
20
cases.
Miles. I was going to say I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but in fact I actually did.
Yes, you did.
So that would have been okay. Untruthful. So you think all the places, and how high, I don't even know how high gulls fly, do you know?
Well, the California gulls go over the Sierras to get to Mono Lake, so.
So that's at least 10,000, 15,000? Mm-hmm. Wow. All the places, okay, let's pick out another feather here. Okay, you want me to pick one that you might know? Okay, let me see. I'll pick this one. I think even I know this one. Oh, maybe you do.
Is it? I've seen it before, but I don't remember.
I know you've spent some time at the church, and if you spend time here at the church, you'll see these feathers flying around.
Looks like
you know what that is? Your daddy knows.
I think it looks like it's a blue jay because...
A blue jay. It's a jay that's blue. It's a jay that's blue. More than likely in this town, what would it be, Professor?
Scrub jay.
A scrub jay. Thank you very much. And I love the blue. This is close to one of my favorite colors. Somewhere I have hidden my precious Western bluebird feather, but it's not in here. Just so you know, if you ever want to get me a tie or something, that is my favorite color. The color of a bluebird. You might see me wearing shirts that somewhat approximate it. Okay, and I will show you. Let's see, this one is not wild around here. I actually picked this one up outside of an enclosure at the zoo. But on the edges, you can't see it from here, but on the edges it has that blue. That blue, that's what I call that blue. Some call it cobalt blue, some call it electric blue. I just call it that blue. Okay, all right. Any guesses? I got this at the zoo. I didn't get it at a park, Mr. Weirich, just so you know. I didn't get it at a park or a rich person's estate, so you're close. What do you think it is?
I was going to say turkey, but turkeys aren't blue. Turkeys are not blue.
Turkeys are not blue? Are you sure about that? I am. You're right. Okay, any guesses? It's not a peacock, nope, but it has that blue on it, and it's related. It's a guinea fowl, I think. Yep, it's a guinea fowl, and they have that amazing blue, and I saw one of these on the ground outside. I didn't ask the zookeeper or anything. I just picked that thing up. Okay, and finally, I'll show you one of my favorites, and I am not actually 100% sure. Because my favorite feather from the bird that I'm thinking of is not in here, but I think this is from the same kind of bird. It has a very funny and cool name. Oh, you've heard me say this name. What? Okay, I'll tell you the giveaway when I first ever encountered one of these that I would hear. By the way, if you want to get into bird watching, which I see you're all dying to do. If you want to get into bird watching, one of the things that makes it really cool is if you start to pay attention to the bird calls. And if you hear the bird call and you can know what's around based on the bird call, then you know what to look for. And so, Mr. Weirich, I was down by the San Joaquin River, northeast of Fresno, and I heard something I hadn't heard. It's very simple, but I hadn't heard a bird do that. And I just heard in the trees a we have them in our neighborhood. I was very excited to discover it. Do you remember that name?
Is it a chickadee?
No. Oh. That's chickadee-dee-dee, right. Chickadee-dee-dee. Yeah, I remember that. And that feather is about as big as the whole bird, if it was a chickadee. Do you reckon? A phainopepla is a beautiful bird. It's jet black with a brilliant red eye. And if it opens its wings, you'll see it has beautiful white wing patches. And your first clue, because as simple as that bird call is, I have not encountered any other bird that just has that simple rising. I'm not a great whistler, but anyway. You're trying it, huh? I actually have it on my phone, too. But anyway, so that's a phainopepla. Now, right now, these feathers, they've been amazing places that I don't even know. Do you think, if I were just now, I don't need this, do you think if I was just now to say, you're a feather, you can fly, so go fly somewhere. It can't do it, can it? No matter if I had, and I don't, if I had the feather of one of the best flyers around, actually some of the best flyers around are ravens. Ravens and crows, if you watch them fly, they can do crazy things. But like if I had a feather from the fastest flyer, the peregrine falcon, and I released it and said, go fly. You've been at speeds I can't even imagine going, just me. Could it do anything? What does it require?
Requires a mind and an actual body and muscles.
And what else?
And God.
And God and?
It also needs the rest of the feathers on the bird.
That's the only thing you forgot, Missy. And by the way, I call her Missy. That's her name. It's not. I'm not just referring to her as a random stranger. So this is Missy. This is Allie. This is Dan Wyrick. Can you thank our helpers for helping us? Thank you. That's absolutely true. No matter how beautiful any of these feathers are, no matter how fast they have ever gone, or how high, or how far out to sea they have ever gone, you take any one of them, and how far can they get? Well, let me refresh your memory. That far. And guess what? It's all downhill. It's all downhill by themselves. That's as far as they can go. How were they designed to work? How were they designed to go high, to go far, to go fast? I'm not talking about the Air Force. How were they designed to go high, far, and fast? How were they designed? All put together, right? Each one doing its part. And if you've studied birds, you know that there are different kinds of feathers for different parts of the body. There's primary feathers, there's the breast feathers, there's secondary feathers. They all, in their right place, working together, can do amazing things, can soar, can dive, can swerve, can do all kinds of amazing maneuvers. And that, my friends, is what we're talking about this morning. Birds of a feather. Let me show you something I saw in my neighborhood about a week ago or so. Look at this. These are the blackbirds in our neighborhood. Isn't that amazing? How they're coordinated? How they turn together? They're not connected by wires. They're not forced together. And yet, did you see any of them bump into each other? I'm sure it happens every once in a while, but they're not bumping into each other. They're just turning. Now, it's harder for me to comprehend because I don't know if you've studied about fish, but fish swimming in a school do similar things, right? They all turn together, and they have on their side a pressure-sensitive line called the lateral line, creatively. And that senses if one fish next to the other fish turns, it creates a little more pressure. And so that fish turns, and they're able to turn coordinated. I got birds? I don't know. It's just visual, I guess. No lateral lines or anything to help them. But it's true, the saying, birds of a feather do what? Why do they flock together? They do it for safety. They do it for companionship. They do it so that they can live the longest and best life that a bird can live. And as I was referring to, it's not just the birds, it's also the fish. They do the same thing. They swim in what is it called? Schools. And kids, of course, love to be in. Oh, that wasn't as enthusiastic as I expected it. But the birds fly in flocks, the fish go in schools. Why? Because they're better off together than they are separately. And you know what? Right from the beginning of creation, we find out that this is true as well. What did God say about Adam? After he had said about the light, it was good. After he had said about the dry land, it was good. After he had said about the plants appearing, it was good. After he said about the creatures of the sea, the birds of the air, it was good. What did he say about man? It is not good for man to be alone. We were created to be at our best together. We were created to be at our best together. You know, in these times that we're living, many of us bore witness to the civil rights era and to what we call the civil rights era. And now, as we come to these times, have you noticed that many issues that we thought we had settled are now all astir in society again, right? And some of them might be based on this whole saying and a misapplication of birds of a feather. And people are kind of pulling back into their groups, whether by politics or by race or by any other way of identifying and identifying people. People are pulling back into their groups. But is that the way we're meant to be? Is that the way we're meant to be? Racially, politically, etc.? We are not meant to isolate. We are meant to be together. What I want to have you think about this morning is, what is your feather that identifies the birds with which you flock together? And if you look at this scripture, are you starting to get a clue of what it is not? If you look at this scripture right here, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 6, it says what? There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And put that together with this, Galatians 3, 26 through 29, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This is very important for interpreting the scriptures. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. That's racial. There is neither slave nor free. That's economic status. There is neither male nor female. That's gender. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is an incredibly important text because it says, whether you are Jew or Greek, whether you are slave or free, whether you are male or female, you are a son of God. You are a child of God. Do you understand that? That is your feather. That is your feather by which you identify the birds that you flock together. Now, you notice when I talked about flocking together that in our society people are pulling back into their groups. Let me tell you, one group that the scriptures tell you that you need to regularly, not 24/7, because you need to be the salt and light in the world that needs so desperately to see Jesus, but regularly identified by the feather of the Holy Spirit of God, if we were to call it that, that is the feather by which you flock together. Other followers of Jesus, you need to regularly flock together with other followers of Jesus. Don't separate yourself by race, by gender, or anything into your exclusive class, by economic status. Don't shut yourself off from people based on that. But you need to regularly, I need to regularly, we need to regularly get together with fellow followers of Jesus Christ for the same reason that the blackbirds fly together in a flock and perch in the tree in a flock, all coordinated together, because we were meant to live our best, fullest life as members of the body of Christ together, meeting together. Look at this. The message that God has commissioned this Seventh-day Adventist body of believers is announced in this way. As the word goes out to draw as many as are willing to listen to the word of God into this same fellowship. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, the everlasting good news, the story of Jesus and how he saves us, to preach to those who dwell on the earth. Is it exclusive to any group? No. Is it just for those that think that way? No, it is not. To every nation, that's all the political ways that you can identify people. To every tribe, that's all the genetic and racial ways that you can identify people. To every tongue, that's all the languages by which you can identify and sort out people. And then to cover the bases, just any way that you can sort out people. Liberal, conservative, gender identity, anything. This message is for every people. Any way you identify yourself as part of a group, this message is for you. And so as the message goes out, And as people come in to the body of believers, what do you expect inside that body of believers? You expect people of every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, all transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't leave us as we are. He changes us into his likeness from glory to glory. He puts his laws in our hearts so that we become a people of love, obedient to him. And in this group, there is no racial feather that identifies us as a group. There is no gender feather that identifies us as a group. There is no political feather that identifies us as a group. Jesus identifies us as a group as we hear him in his word and follow him. And he calls us to gather together and help each other and seek him together so that in this world, with all of its temptations, with all of its distractions, that we can faithfully follow him, strengthened by him and by his presence and work among us and in us through each other. Here's a scripture that Megan read to us. And let us consider. That means take the time to think about this. But not just think, but actually do. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And what is that last sentence? And so much the more, when, why? As you see the day approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what day that's talking about? That's talking about the last day of Earth's history as we know it. The day when Jesus comes to take his own to heaven. And all of the works and systems of this world in which we are tempted to place our faith will be broken down and burned and gone. So I'm telling you, there's not many things that are going to last through that. No system that you might depend on is going to last through that. No building that you're invested in is going to last through that. None of it. Only Jesus, only his word is forever, and his family, his people. You invest yourself that way. As Irma read, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, what I'm calling you today is to invest yourself in the body of Christ. Invest yourself. Spend time alone with Jesus. But not just spend time alone with Jesus. Spend time with fellow believers, encouraging each other. Look at the world around us. It's getting crazier, isn't it? The signs that Jesus is going, read Matthew 24 again and see, do you see what's happening? Go through Revelation and the signs that are in Revelation and other prophecies of Scripture. Go through Daniel and look at men running to and fro, knowledge increasing. Look at people's love growing cold because of the increase of wickedness. Look at all of these things happening. Look at the movement in the religious world. As the Protestant Reformation is trying to be undone. All of these things show us that this day is approaching and it is nearer. It is not time to go solo, to try and be our own little feathers that somehow are going to not fly together on their own, that are not going to fly. It's time for us, as the prophet says, to press together, because we need Jesus and we need each other. Look at the early church, Acts 2, 46 through 47. So continually, and remember, the remnant church, the remnant piece of cloth is the same as the first piece of cloth on the whole bolt of cloth, right? This is what the early church did. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread, where? From house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You want that to happen again? There's more around that you can read. But you can see that they were invested in coming together, in being together, being together, being together. By the way, I when we have building campaigns and stuff, it, you know, we may not want to trumpet this too hard, but we want to follow the Lord's leading for our day and our time. But you can search the New Testament. And this is the way it was. They was the temple theirs? Did they, the early church, build the temple? No. The temple was leftovers that were cleaned off the plate in AD 70 when the Romans destroyed it all, right? And the gold melted down between the bricks. They met from house to house. Search the only building that you can find in the New Testament church is the building made of living stone. The metaphorical building of the believers built together into one thing to the glory of God, to His praise and honor. But still, we need to keep the lights on and everything. But we are not invested in this as the key. This is not the key to our walk with God and being faithful, clear to the end, till Jesus come, as we see the day approaching. Jesus and you are the key. His Holy Spirit and you are the key for yourselves and each other. It's us gathering together. This is how the early church was, from house to house. Testimonies, volume 7, page 21. The formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort has been presented to me by one who cannot err. I wonder who that is. Who is she saying presented this to her? Oh, she capitalized one. There's a good clue. It's from God Himself. If there is a large number in the church, let the members be formed into small companies, small groups, to work not only for the church members, that's one important aspect of small groups, but for unbelievers. I think that's an important dimension to remember as we form into small groups, that they're not just for us to strengthen each other in being spiritual, in having hope and comfort in life, but they're actually meant for us to brew the love of Jesus among us such that it cannot be contained in that small group, but it must go out. We have small groups that go to the Salvation Army. We have small groups that do other ministry. We need, as we gather in small groups, to ask God, how do you want us together to work for you and for your kingdom? Because that is His intention and that is His design. And so today, we are getting ready to launch another season of our small group experience in the English Oaks Church, February 10. I don't have the flyer for you yet, but it's going to be exciting. We are going to be looking, as we have been counseled to, at the last scenes of Jesus' life on earth, Mark 14 through 16. And we're going to spend 7 weeks going through, and I pray and I hope that you are part of a small group. But if you aren't part of a small group, I'm going to be emailing out this week the flyer that we're going to have in the church bulletin next week. It'll give you a recipe for how to start a small group and how to run a small group that's very simple. It's not complicated at all. Gathering some friends and maybe even some strangers that you don't know as well and reading the Word of God, praying together, letting it speak to you, and applying it to our lives so that we can go on out and do what God has called us to do. And we get to focus on the last scenes of Jesus' life, where He gave Himself completely for us, paid the price for our salvation. So I encourage you, please make sure to be part of that. And if you need help, as it will say on the flyer that I will send to you, if you need help with that, we are happy to help you and train you and educate you into how to be successful and enjoy that experience to the fullest. Coming back to our scripture that Megan read to us, I renew the call, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Friends of mine, there's two things you need to make sure of today here. First of all, yes, salvation, as we have taught, is an individual thing in a large sense. And so you need to make sure that you are trusting Jesus. That whatever load of guilt you might be carrying around, that you bring to Him right here and right now. And He has promised, because He died on the cross for your sin, to take that guilt that blocks the way for you to be having fellowship with God, to be reconciled with God. And right here, right now, if you haven't already, you can have that friendship with God that is like no other. There are people here who can testify. They wouldn't be here. And I don't mean here in this building. I mean they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for their connection with God that gives them hope and life and victories from day to day. You need to do that. And second of all, even if you haven't yet done that first, I would still encourage you, become part of a small group of people who meet together in a home or in another place that works for you around the Word of God, and God will do amazing things in your life. He will teach you amazing things. You will make friendships that will be deeper than you thought could ever happen. This is what God intends for you. In another word, in those small group experiences, heaven can start here. To be in a place where everybody loves you and where everyone is for you and is all about helping each other, that is a foretaste of heaven. We can do that to some extent here in this big room, but not like I tell you what, when I share in a small group experience, I almost feel guilty because as pastor of a church, you know what thought goes through my head when I'm in a small group experience studying the Bible, sharing real things with real people about real lives and applying the real Word of God to our lives and worshiping Him and praising Him together? Those are my strongest experiences of what I think church is about. Not here. It's in those small groups where there's people I can talk to, whose eyes I can really look into, whose hearts I can really sense, and the real connections happen around the Word of God with Him present. You know, the promise of Jesus is so wonderful because the promise He made, as you answer that call and as you get connected with a group, is that you won't only meet the people that are there with you. You remember what Jesus, our Savior, said. He said, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." You want to meet Jesus? Get together with other believers in a way that you cannot in any other way, in a way that there's no other way that you get this experience. And I can testify, I've been to concerts, I've been to plenty of worship church services and everything, and I have met Jesus in all those places. But the most powerfully I have met Jesus is with other believers in a small group around the Word of God, praying, studying, and sharing together. We offer that experience, and we will help you to have that experience. Because we need each other, just like the birds flock together and the fish school together, because that is where they are best able to live a full life as they were intended to. God calls you and me birds of a feather, the feather of faith in Jesus, to flock together and go all the way through, ready for Jesus to come to enjoy His beautiful kingdom. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for being with us here today. We thank You for the opportunity that we have, not only to gather together on Sabbath mornings, but to meet with each other in small prayer fellowships, to meet with each other in small groups studying Your Word, to meet together in serving other people in all these situations, to find each other and to find You, Jesus. Father, I do pray for any who sense themselves to be separated from You today, I pray that they can realize right now that by coming to You, confessing the sin and the separation that has been the story of our lives, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to give us that gift of forgiveness and eternal life, so that our lives can go from darkness to light, from death to life, Father. I pray that experience for my friends here today. And Father, as we think about the possibilities of being parts of small groups, I pray that you will move us to where we cannot resist the impression of your Holy Spirit, that now is the time that we need each other more than ever. Now is the time for us to gather together, to talk together, even if it starts with two people, to get together, to pray, to study your word, and to encourage each other. Oh, Father, I pray for groups to multiply. I pray for every person in this room to be able to be part of such a group. And keep us, watch over us, guide us, help us to be faithful all the way until Jesus comes. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Would you stand with me and sing our song of reunion? Oops, I got it past that slide. Can you help me, Ed? I made a mistake. We need these words, because this is the second verse. There we go. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again.